Are you married to Mr. Law or are you married to Mr. Christ? If you're married to Mr. Law, that relationship is rule based, performance based, based on your own efforts and performance, upon your own flesh, your own efforts. If you're married to Mr. Christ, that is a love relationship. It's a relationship based on mutual, deep, intimate love. Which person are you married to? Mr. Law or Mr. Christ? Listen in as we delve into this. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is September 16th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 20. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I am giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do, until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. Isaiah 22, 1 to 24, 23. This message came to me, Isaiah, concerning Jerusalem. What is happening? Why is everyone running to the rooftops? The whole city is in a terrible uproar. What do I see in this reveling city? Bodies are lying everywhere, killed by famine and disease. All your leaders flee. They surrender without resistance. The people try to slip away, but they are captured too. Leave me alone to weep. Do not try to comfort me. Let me cry for my people as I watch them being destroyed. Oh, what a day of crushing trouble. What a day of confusion, terror the Lord Almighty has brought upon the Valley of Vision. The walls of Jerusalem have been broken, and cries of death echo from the mountainsides. Elamites are the archers, Arameans drive the chariots. The men of Kir hold up the shields. They fill your beautiful valleys and crowd against your gates. Judah's defenses have been stripped away. You run to the armory for your weapons. You inspect the walls of Jerusalem to see what needs to be repaired. You store up water in the lower pool. You check the houses and tear some down to get stone to fix the walls. Between the city walls, you build a reservoir for water from the old pool. But all your feverish plans are to no avail because you never ask God for help. He is the one who planned this long ago. The Lord Almighty called you to weep and mourn. He told you to shave your heads in sorrow for your sins and to wear clothes of sackcloth to show your remorse. But instead you dance and play, you slaughter sacrificial animals, feast on meat and drink wine. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, you say. What's the difference? For tomorrow we die. The Lord Almighty has revealed to me that this sin will never be forgiven you until the day you die. That is the judgment of the Lord Almighty. Furthermore, the Lord Almighty told me to confront Shebna, the palace administrator, and to give him this message. Who do you think you are, building a beautiful tomb for yourself in the rock? For the Lord is about to seize you and hurl you away. He is going to send you into captivity, you strong man. He will crumple you into a ball and toss you away into a distant, barren land. There you will die, and there your glorious chariots will remain broken and useless. You are a disgrace to your master. Yes, I will drive you out of office, says the Lord. I will pull you down from your high position. And then I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, to replace you. He will have your royal robes, your title, and your authority, and he will be a father to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. He will open doors, and no one will be able to shut them. He will close doors, and no one will be able to open them. He will bring honor to his family name, for I will drive him firmly in place like a tent stake. He will be loaded down with responsibility, and he will bring honor to even the lowest members of his family. The Lord Almighty says, when that time comes, I will pull out the stake that seemed so firm. It will come out and fall to the ground. Everything it supports will fall with it. I, the Lord, have spoken. This message came to me concerning Tyre. Weep, O ships of Tarshish returning home from distant lands, weep for your harbor at Tyre because it is gone. The rumors you heard in Cyprus are all true. Mourn in silence, you people of the coast and you merchants of Sidon. Your traders crossed the sea, sailing over deep waters. They brought you grain from Egypt and harvests from along the Nile. You were the merchandise mart of the world. But now you are put to shame, city of Sidon, fortress on the sea, for the sea says, now I am childless, I have no sons or daughters. When Egypt hears the news about Tyre, there will be great sorrow. Lean now to Tarshish, wail, you people who live by the sea, how can this silent ruin be all that is left of your once joyous city? What a history was yours! Think of all the colonists you sent to distant lands. Who has brought this disaster on Tyre, empire builder and chief trader of the world? The Lord Almighty has done it to destroy your pride and show his contempt for all human greatness. Come, Tarshish, sweep over your mother Tyre like the flooding Nile, for the city is defenseless. The Lord holds out his hand over the seas. He shakes the kingdoms of the earth. He has spoken out against Phoenicia, and depleted its strength. He says, never again will you rejoice, O daughter of Sidon. Once you were a lovely city, but you will never again be strong. Even if you flee to Cyprus, you will find no rest. Look at the land of Babylon. The people of that land are gone. The Assyrians have handed Babylon over to the wild beasts. They have built siege ramps against its walls, torn down its palaces, and turned it into a heap of rubble. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your home port is destroyed. For 70 years, the length of a king's life, Tyre will be forgotten. But then the city will come back to life and sing sweet songs like a prostitute. Long absent from her lovers, she will take a harp, walk the streets, and sing her song so that she will again be remembered. Yes, after 70 years, the Lord will revive Tyre, but she will be no different than she was before. She will return again to all her evil ways around the world. But in the end, her businesses will give their profits to the Lord. Her wealth will not be hoarded, but will be used to provide good food and fine clothing for the Lord's priests. Look, the Lord is about to destroy the earth and make it a vast wasteland. See how he is scattering the people over the face of the earth. Priests and lay people, servants and masters, maids and mistresses, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, bankers and debtors, none will be spared. The earth will be completely emptied and looted. The Lord has spoken. The earth dries up, the crops wither, the skies refuse to rain. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated his laws, and broken his everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth and its people. They are left desolate, destroyed by fire. Few will be left alive. All the joys of life will be gone. The grape harvest will fail and there will be no wine. The merrymakers will sigh and mourn. The clash of tambourines will be stilled. The happy cries of celebration will be heard no more. The melodious chords of the harp will be silent. Gone are the joys of wine and song. Strong drink now turns bitter in the mouth. The city writhes in chaos. Every home is locked to keep out looters. Mobs gather in the streets crying out for wine. Joy has reached its lowest ebb. Gladness has been banished from the land. The city is left in ruins with its gates battered down. Throughout the earth, the story is the same. Like the stray olives left on the tree or the few grapes left on the vine after harvest, only a remnant is left. But all who are left will shout and sing for joy. Those in the west will praise the Lord's majesty. In eastern lands, give glory to the Lord. In the coastlands of the sea, praise the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Listen to them as they sing to the Lord from the ends of the earth. Hear them singing praises to the righteous one. But my heart is heavy with grief. I am discouraged, for evil still prevails and treachery is everywhere. Terror and traps and snares will be your lot, you people of the earth. Those who flee in terror will fall into a trap, and those who escape the trap will step into a snare. Destruction falls on you from the heavens. The world is shaken beneath you. The earth has broken down and has utterly collapsed. Everything is lost, abandoned, and confused. The earth staggers like a drunkard. It trembles like a tent in a storm. It falls and will not rise again, for its sins are very great. In that day, the Lord will punish the fallen angels in the heavens and the proud rulers of the nations on the earth. They will be rounded up and put in prison until they are tried and condemned. Then the Lord Almighty will mount his throne in Mount Zion. He will rule gloriously in Jerusalem, in the sight of all the leaders of his people. There will be such glory that the brightness of the sun and moon will seem to fade away. Galatians 2:17-3:9. But what if we, Paul and other believers, seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then find out that we are still sinners? Has Christ led us into sin? Of course not. Rather, I make myself guilty if I rebuild the old system I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there would be no need for Christ to die. O foolish Galatians, what magician has cast an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? Of course not, for the Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Christ. Have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You have suffered so much for the good news. Surely it was not in vain, was it? Are you now going to just throw it all away? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are all those who put their faith in Christ. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would accept the Gentiles too, on the basis of their faith. God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." And so it is. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. Psalm 60:1-12. You have rejected us, O God, and broken our defenses. You have been angry with us. Now restore us to your favor. You have shaken our land and split it open. Seal the cracks before it completely collapses. You have been very hard on us, making us drink wine that sent us reeling. But you have raised a banner for those who honor you, a rallying point in the face of attack. Use your strong arm to save us and rescue your beloved people. God has promised this by his holiness. I will divide up Shechem with joy. I will measure out the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim will produce my warriors and Judah will produce my kings. Moab will become my lowly servant and Edom will be my slave. I will shout in triumph over the Philistines. But who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will bring me victory over Edom? Have you rejected us, O God? Will you no longer march with our armies? Oh, please help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless. With God's help, we will do mighty things, for he will trample down our foes. Proverbs 23:15-16. My child, how I will rejoice if you become wise. Yes, My heart will thrill when you speak what is right and just. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Galatians chapter 2 and part of chapter 3, and we are continuing on our pursuit with intimacy with Christ. And Paul is identifying for us a huge barrier to having that intimate love relationship with Christ. He says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 18, "Rather, I make myself guilty if I rebuild the old system I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died to the law so that I might live for God." So let me paint a picture for you. Suppose that you are now married to somebody, and this person is Mr. Law. You are married to Mr. Law. And every time you mess up, you sin, you make a mistake, you fall off the horse, so to speak, he's right there with a big stick, and he hits you over the head with the stick, and he says, "You screwed up, you blew it, you're wrong, you're bad, you're wicked, you're evil, you'll never get it right." And so Mr. Law constantly beats you over the head with a stick with condemnation and accusation, and you can never, ever please. But you love him so very, very, very much. You just think, I've just got to try harder. And so you get back on the horse and you keep on trying, you keep on working and trying to earn his favor, his love, and his affection. But you keep falling off the horse over and over and over again, and he keeps beating you over the head with a big stick with condemnation and accusation. And finally, you end up divorced from Mr. Law. And many years go by, and finally, the Lord wants to do something new in your life. He wants to restore that which is broken and hurting and wounded. And he sends you a new husband. You fall in love with this new husband, and his name is Mr. Christ. And the old ways, the old way of relating is completely gone. And Mr. Christ, when you fall off the horse, he's right there to say, "Oh, I see you fell. Here, let me give you my hand and help you up. Here, let me help you mount back up onto the horse. Let me help you continue in your journey. I'm here to walk with you, and I'm here to support you and help you." And he's full of mercy. He's full of kindness. He's full of forgiveness. Which man do you want to be married to? Mr. Law or Mr. Christ? So Paul wants us to have that marriage intimate relationship with Mr. Christ, but the Galatians back then, and so many of us even today, they are falling back into trying to be married to Mr. Law. He says, why would you tear down and why would you want to rebuild the old system that has already been torn down? He says, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a love relationship, not a rule-based relationship, not a performance-based relationship, not an obedience-based relationship. He's calling us into a love relationship. Paul goes on to say, for if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. He strongly exhorts them, oh, foolish Galatians, what magician has cast an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? It would be like Now you're married to Mr. Christ. He is your husband. He's full of mercy and kindness and love for you and forgiveness. And then it's like you think, oh, I need to go back to my first husband. I'm going to leave Mr. Christ now, and I'm going to go back to Mr. Law and try to please him. That would be insanity. Jesus calls us into this love relationship. It's not based on works. It's not based on performance. It's not based on obedience. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And everything else will flow out of that. It will all flow, but the very first thing is he wants us to simply love him. May you and I climb higher that mountain, Mount Zion, for Jesus is at the top of that mountain. May we seek him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and may we walk in love. May we fall in love with him all over again. He is crazy in love with you, beloved. May we love him back. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yevrekah Adonai Vishmerekah Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Isa Adonai Panavilaka Vayaseleka Leka
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.